We're going to read in the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And it's interesting that at the end of this long book, this is God's letter to you and to me. I don't know whether you ever thought of the Bible as a letter from God, but He put a lot of information in the letter, because if we had only heard it orally, we probably would forget it or get it confused. But God in His kindness put it all in writing so that if we have doubts, we can go back and see what it is in black and white. It's there. And so right at the end of this long letter that God has given to us, it says, now just before I finish, I want to remind you of your eternal homes. There are two options. I know you're looking at the yellow up here. And that's where God wants you to end up. That's a long, we mentioned last night about we're going to our long home. This is my long home, heaven. But there is another option. It's not yellow. It's not bright. And right at the end of the Bible, look at chapter 20, verse 15. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that is one long home. But then, the next two chapters. Look at verse 4 of chapter 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And you go over to verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb, that's Christ, is the light thereof. Verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. There'll be no sin ever enter heaven. Nothing that contaminates or defiles it. Nor that whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But here's who will be there. They which are written in the Lamb's book of life, chapter 22. The people that are there, verse 4, they shall see His face, and His name, the name of Christ, shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And if you were to keep reading down into chapter 22, you'll read that God is saying, come. And the Spirit is saying, come, come, heaven. I am sure if we ask for a show of hands, you'd love to go to heaven. You won't recognize the name of Jack Welch, but he was a CEO of General Electric Company all through like the 80s and 90s. I used to read, when I was in management, I'd read Harvard Business Reviews, and Jack Welch was the management guru. He ran GE. And he, just not too long ago, just before Dan Rather was booted out of CBS, Dan Rather interviewed Jack Welch, just about his management career. And Dan Rather asked Jack Welch, what is the toughest question you have ever been asked? Jack Welch thought, the toughest question I have ever been asked, and I quote, is this. Do you think you will go to heaven? That's what Jack Welch said was the toughest question. All of the complexities of managing a company like General Electric, the toughest question he was ever asked is, do you think you will go to heaven? And so Dan Rather said, well, how did you answer that question, Jack Welch? He said, well, it's a long answer. But I said that if caring about people, if giving it your all, if being a great friend counts, despite the fact that I've been divorced a couple of times, and no one's proud of that, I haven't done everything right all the time, I think I got a shot. I'm not in a hurry to get there, nor am I in a hurry to find out anytime soon. He gave a long... That's a simple question. Do you think they'll go to heaven? If Dan Rather wants... I'm sure Dan Rather doesn't even know I exist. But if he wanted to call me up and do an interview with me tonight and say, Peter Ramsey, do you think you'll go to heaven? I say, Dan Rather, you worded the question the wrong way. It's not, do I think I'll go to heaven? Ask me, do I know I'm going to heaven? Yes, Mr. Rather, I am going to heaven. I'm not going to sleep at night with my fingers crossed or sleeping with a cross under my pillow as a good luck charm. I know, absolutely sure, I am going to heaven. Heaven is my destination. Is it yours? Or would you have to give a long answer? I was just thinking today, but, well, it's pop. Can't you just say, yes, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Christ died for me. Someone who's going to heaven can give a short answer. Yes, Christ died for me. The destination of heaven. You know, heaven, it's a real place. It's not the figment of someone's imagination. Healthy, clear-minded people, they want to go to heaven. It's a real place. It's not restricted by normal boundaries of time or restricted by space, but it is still very real. It can be seen. It can be touched. It can be experienced. It is inhabited. It's a very real place where real physical beings are there in heaven. It's a destination. And I don't know whether you've thought much about what heaven is going to be like, but I can tell you that there's not going to be any sin, there's no suffering in heaven, there's not going to be any agonizing, there's not going to be any anger, there is not going to be an ache or a pain in heaven, there's not going to be the bruises of life. All those things are going to be past forever. No more burdens to bear, dear child of God. If you're going to heaven, one of these days you're going to shed the last burden. It's going to be gone, and you're going to be whisked away to heaven where there is no cancer, and there is no crying, and there are no tears in heaven, and there is no death in heaven, and there's no darkness, and there's no disease, and there is no discomfort of any kind in heaven. Heaven is a... We used to sing it. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. Heaven. And there's no words that I could ever present to you tonight that could describe what heaven is going to be like. I see the artist painted it yellow because it's bright. It's happy. It's a wonderful destination. No disappointments up there. No discouragement. There is no emptiness up there. There's no friction. There's no fighting. No famine. There are no heartaches. Dear child of God, you have a heartache tonight, don't you? And some of you have heartbreaks. But in heaven, there'll be no heartaches. And there'll be no heartbreaks. There'll be no jolts or jars. You know how you're almost afraid to pick up the telephone at times? Oh, that will be gone forever. There'll be no bad news delivered in heaven. No illness. Wonderful place. Light, warmth, acceptance, security, happiness, safety, fellowship, intimacy, joy. Christ, our Savior, in the midst. Heaven. You going there? You say, well, I can't get excited about heaven. You have to, when I'm going bald, and I'm getting old and gray-haired like you, and maybe when I'm in a nursing home, I'll start thinking about heaven. I don't know what you think heaven is like. Like heaven, sometimes you when you're not thinking clearly, you think that maybe heaven is just like we're all zombies and these ghosts that are floating around up there in the street of gold, and this wispy, waspy ghost in the street of gold. Heaven is a real place, and it's not filled with ghosts. It's a very alive place. It's not a nursing home. Heaven is a wonderful destination. And I wonder, do you know anything about it? People say they want to go there. You want to go there? I remember knocking on a door in Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, and there was a lady 34 years of age. She couldn't come to the door. Her daughter, Sarah, 13, answered the door. I walked in, all kinds of boxes all around the mobile home that hadn't been unpacked. And Margaret was sitting in a wheelchair. And I sat there with her, and she told me a little bit of her life story. A few years earlier, she'd been in a car accident, and some of her legs had been... She'd lost the use of her legs a little bit. And then the most recent thing had happened that she had cancer of the spine. And then when her husband found out she had cancer of the spine, her husband said, enough is enough, and he left her. And there, Margaret, with cancer of the spine, at 34 years of age, with a daughter, Sarah, and Matthew, and Kaylee, huddled around their helpless mom, 34. And the kids were around a little bit, and I asked Margaret some questions, and I went back, I told her about the Lord Jesus. I went back a number of occasions, made a special trip over to see her from our province, just to see her. And I asked her, Margaret, where are you going? And she said, I tell my children, Mommy's going to heaven. I said, but where are you going? One thing to assure your children that Mommy's going to be okay, but are you okay? Children wanted to hear that Mom was going to heaven. But where are you going, Margaret? She put her head down and started to cry. I don't know that Margaret ever gets saved. A lot of people want to go to heaven. But it's wishful thinking. There's a good chance they won't end up in heaven. Heaven is a very real destination. You say, what are the qualifications for heaven? You say, I'd like to be there. You know, you've probably been to funerals, and have you ever been to a funeral where someone is in the casket and they didn't make it? I have been. Part of my job from 1980 to 1990 was to go to funerals. Yeah, it was a public relations stunt with the hospital to be at all the community funerals. And so I went to a lot of funerals. Alcoholics, drug addicts, adulterers. I was a lot of funerals. And I was never to one funeral in that community where the clergy, he always stood up and said, our dear departed brother, baptized into the kingdom of God at birth, and on and on and on. I never heard of anyone not making it. But just because someone behind a pulpit says that doesn't mean they've made it to heaven. Are you going to heaven tonight? Are you sure? Absolutely sure? What are the qualifications? Revelation chapter 5 says there is a people in heaven and they have been redeemed by blood. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're up there singing. And they're singing about the precious blood. And they're singing about the man who died on the cross. They're not singing about their church, and they're not singing about their pastor. They're not singing about their good works, and they're not flashing around their baptismal certificates or their church confirmation. And they're not up there remembering the time they first took Holy Communion. They're not up there. They're singing about one person, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The qualifications for heaven. Do you meet the qualifications? Are you a sinner saved by matchless grace? Are your sins forgiven? A lady told me today, well, she said, I'm getting there on a wing of a prayer. And she said, my daughter's up there already. She's guiding me up. Nonsense. Nonsense. Who told her that pack of lies? there are qualifications to get into heaven. Are you a possessor of eternal life? I don't know why people object to the Lord having qualifications to get into heaven. Qualifications to get into university. The university calls a shot. You don't go up there and say, well, I've got grade 7, but I'm super smart. Just waive all your requirements. Let me in. The registrar of the university say, go pound sand, buster. Who do you think you are? You can pull all the strings you want, but you're not getting into the university with grade 7. And if universities have minimum entrance requirements, how much more is God, the CEO of the universe, entitled to have entrance requirements to his heaven? And he does. And if you don't meet them, you won't get in. It's just that plain and simple. Tiger Woods, when he just got married there a year or two ago and took his honeymoon in the Caribbean, him and Ellen, in their 47-meter yacht, $52 million yacht, privacy, going through the Caribbean, Tiger Woods, golfing superstar, and the captain of his yacht, he didn't realize he had overlooked the requirements. They were heading towards San Juan, Puerto Rico port. That's the port they were going into. And he didn't realize that since 9/11 that there were papers that had to be filed 96 hours before arrival at the pier. And without those papers filed in advance, there's no way you can disembark and go walk onto the wharf. And so when the captain finds out, he thinks, but I didn't know. I didn't know I had to file those papers. And after all, it's Tiger Woods, surely. So he sails into the harbor, San Juan, Puerto Rico. And they wouldn't let him get off the boat. They said 3 hours to refuel and then out of there. You know why? Because the papers weren't filed in advance. They didn't meet the requirements to disembark at San Juan, Puerto Rico. Let me ask you tonight, do you have the papers filed in advance? You're planning to arrive at Port Heaven? Get all the paperwork done? You say, what? What is the paperwork? You know, you heard the joke about St. Peter standing at the pearly gates and why should I let you in? Well, I'm sure it's not going to be that way. But if, let's say I die, and St. Peter was at the pearly gates, and he said, Peter Ramsey, from PEI, yes, on what basis do you think you qualify to enter heaven? I would say, thanks for asking. Here's my passport. See it? That's it. I just passed that. Christ died for my sins. Come on in. That's the only ones allowed in here. Do you have that? What do you have to hold up? Something of your own? Or can you hold up Christ and say, Him, He is the reason I can come in here. He died for my sins. That's the passport, friend. Anything less will not do. This is the minimum entrance requirements for heaven, that you can say, Christ died for my sins. Who's going to be up there? The congregation in heaven? Oh, believers, it's going to be a wonderful time. Believers of all ages are going to be united there for the eternal ages. Millions and millions as far as your eye can scan. Believers, those who love the Lord, there won't be one enemy up there. We'll all be in harmony there. Believers of all ages. And we'll be united in worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be mums and dads up there without a son or without a daughter. That's the reality. There's already a father up there without a son. King David is up there. And Absalom is down here. There'll be mums and dads up there without a son. Without a daughter. There'll be sons and daughters up there without a father or without a mother up there. There will be people up there that we didn't expect to see. And there will be people we expect to see up there. And they won't be there. What are we going to do in heaven? Well, there's a number of things we're going to be serving. I don't know what you... Like, do you think we're going to be sitting in seats like this and row, and as far back, and we're all going to be there with our legs crossed 1 minute and then just changing positions and sore back and then twiddling our thumbs and saying, okay, what next is going to happen up there? You see up there at the front? You think that's what heaven's going to be like? No, the Bible tells us we're going to be serving. We are going to be... Christians are going to be administrators in the universe of God. We're not going to be confined into some little tight, cramped room with air conditioning and having a big eternal hymn sing. You say, oh, well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I've often thought of, like, 1 hour of singing hymns is long enough. My voice gets hoarse and I don't see what people get in these hymn sings. No, it's not going to be one big eternal hymn sing, one song after another. No, absolutely not. We're going to be serving in His kingdom. That's one thing. We're going to be learning forever. The infinite God, God who is bigger than the universe, He's going to unfold things to us that we haven't been able to comprehend down here, and we're going to be ever learning up there. We will have an eternity to interact with an innumerable multitude of people. I don't see anything boring about having heaven at all when I think about it. We're going to be worshiping. Look around. Like, have you been to a zoo lately? Did you see those monkeys swinging by their tails on a tree branch? Who made that monkey that amuses you? The eternal God. Who made the giraffe? Who made the stars? I mean, if God hadn't made all of these things, astronomers and scientists and adventurists. I mean, there's people that spend their lifetime trying to get up to Mount Everest. Who made all these magnificent things that we enjoy down here? The God that's going to inhabit to heaven. And you don't think that heaven's going to be less exciting than earth is, do you? No, heaven is not going to be boring. Our God is not a boring God. And He is a God of energy. He's a God of light. He's a God of dynamism. And it's not going to be a celestial nursing home. No. For old people. It's going to be very much alive. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. Do you have your reservation made? Have your papers filed? Wonderful to be able to go to sleep at night, knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Boy, girl, forget about everything else that's going on in your life. You get down to business this night, this hour. And don't even sleep tonight until you're absolutely sure you are going to heaven.